Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of bbfohio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study in Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 30, titled, Enter In at the Straight Gate. You can send email to us at bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also write to us at Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. We ask that if you make any check or money order donations, that you make those out to Bible Believers Fellowship. You can also contact us and donate by visiting bbfohio.com. And now we begin with the current events update and then our study in Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 30, titled, Enter In at the Straight Gate. This is part one of two. As we wake you up with that music. Headline reviews in the news. Number one, mainstream medical associations are run by wicked reprobates. You need to understand that you better be very careful who you go to as a doctor. I do not trust a doctor who thinks it's okay to kill unborn children. Amen. That's the majority of them. The majority of doctors in this country are wicked. And that explains why they aren't really physicians. They're dope pushers. They're pill pushers. Glorified, that's what they are. Glorified pill pushers. Drug dealers. That's another word I was looking for. It's up there somewhere. This is from the AMA website. I saw the story, and then I went right to their website to get it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. Leading medical groups file amicus brief in Dobbs versus Jackson. Dobbs versus Jackson is, Jackson refers to a women's health clinic that wants to kill babies. Yesterday, the American College of Obstetricians, of course, this wasn't yesterday, it was September 21st, so it's been September 20th when this happened. The American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, joined by 24 medical organizations, submitted an amicus brief to the United States Supreme Court in the case of Dobbs versus Jackson Women's Health Organization, a case challenging the Mississippi law imposing a ban on the provision of abortion after 15 weeks of pregnancy for most individuals. Mississippi passed a law that says you can't kill a baby after 15 weeks. That's not far enough, but that's better than it has been. This amicus brief represents an unprecedented level of support from a diverse group of physicians, nurses, and other healthcare professionals. Listen to this. Which demonstrates the concrete medical consensus of opposition to abortion restriction legislation, such as the law at the heart of Dobbs versus Jackson. In other words, all these 25 plus the AMA as an umbrella organization oppose restrictions on abortion. Hold it to the end.
Quick question. What's an amicus?
It's a legal brief that they submitted to the court. The medical consensus is to murder and butcher unborn children. I don't want to get too graphic, but I think one of the reasons why abortion and homosexual sin gets a free pass is because everybody pretties it up. Mm-hmm. They won't deal with reality. If I stood up here and talked about what homosexual sex involved and described it to you, you'd walk out of here. But why? You want to pretty it up. You want to call it love. And just the other day, I listened to some young man describe going and taking part in homosexual events where they would go into dark places where you can't see your hand in front of your face, and people just grab you and have intercourse with you without you even knowing who you're doing it with. And by the time the night's over, they've been with a dozen different people, and they don't even know who they were. It's a disgusting, and you say, well, I know some homosexuals that aren't like that. First of all, you don't know. Second of all, there are the exception proves the rule. When you point out an exception, you're proving the rule. Well, the same thing's true with abortion. I've had people tell me, I don't care what you say. I said, well, I won't say a word. But if you really believe what you believe, you're going to watch this video. And I show them a video of a baby being aborted. Nice, pretty word, aborted. They kill it. They crush it. They suck its pieces, arms, legs, and head, brain tissue through a suction. Then they put it on a plate and put it all together to make sure they got it all. Abortion. And that's what God sees. He doesn't see the prettied up version of these things. God sees what's really happening. And so you wonder why he's going to destroy this country? AMA, the brief asks the court to recognize that Mississippi's attempt to ban nearly all abortions after 15 weeks of pregnancy is fundamentally at odds with the provision of safe and essential health care, with scientific evidence, and with medical ethics. That's called Orwellian newspeak. That's using words in a way to cover up the reality of what's behind that. When they say essential health care, they're talking about the essential practice of killing an unborn baby that I just described in very, very tame terms to you. With scientific evidence and medical, they're a bunch of wicked, reprobate liars. And that's probably a lot of your doctors that some of you are going to today. Wicked. In part, the brief states, quote, the ban dangerously limits the ability of women at or near 15 weeks gestation to obtain the health care they need to obtain the ability to kill their baby. Some will be forced to travel outside the state to obtain an abortion. Others will attempt self-induced abortion, and others still will be forced to carry their pregnancy to term. Each of these outcomes increases the likelihood of negative consequences to a woman's physical and psychological health that could be avoided if care were available. Listen, they're a bunch of liars. You want to talk about psychological damage to the women in this country? Every woman who's had an abortion is psychologically damaged. Some have found forgiveness by faith in Jesus Christ. But the majority of those women are on psych meds to get them over the fact that they murdered their own baby. That's the exact opposite of reality. Amen. Again, liars. Here's the real story. Abortion leads to increased risk of suicide, death, and depression. Not surprisingly, women are more likely to experience physical and mental health problems after an abortion. I decided instead of trying to copy it, I was just going to kind of review this. This is from a website called LifeSite News, but they give you the references so you can go actually read the report for yourself. It's on the 50th anniversary. This was back in 2017 when they originally posted this. It was the 50th anniversary of the 1967 Abortion Act in the United Kingdom. And in this report titled Abortion and Women's Health, Key Findings. We don't have time to go through the whole thing, and I'm just going to name a few of these bullet points. Women are more likely to die from any cause after abortion versus giving birth. In other words, no matter what the cause, if you gave birth naturally compared to killing your baby, your likelihood of dying goes way up compared to people giving birth. You'll die sooner. That's just... Suicide is around 6 times greater after abortion than if you give natural childbirth. You're 6 times more likely to commit suicide. Abortion is associated with significantly higher death rates for women up to 10 years after an abortion compared with women who gave birth. In other words, you could have an abortion, think it's successful, and a few years down the road, die from something related to that abortion. guess what? Just like the big pharma with their vaccines, you can't sue. They're protected. Women described significant grief 3 years after abortion. A 30% increased risk of depression and a 25% increased risk of anxiety following abortion. And so on, and I could go on and on. What I want you to know is that if you, or not someone you know is having an abortion, if you're a man and you paid for a woman to have an abortion, there's good news thanks to the God that we serve. Thanks to the God that we serve, he doesn't just kill you. That's the first good news. Because you deserve death penalty. Second good news is he will forgive you. If you will repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in his death, burial, and resurrection as payment and victory over your sin, he will forgive you. Third thing is that can result in a peace that you never thought you'd have. Fourth is, I say, the best for last. If you get saved and go to heaven, you'll meet the baby.
Amen.
The baby's in heaven. We have a wonderful God who does not give us what we deserve many, many times.
Amen.
Number two, some good news. A temporary stay on Biden's criminal vaccine mandate. Now, it is temporary. We don't know what's going to happen, but a federal appeals court freezes Biden's vaccine rule for companies.
Yay.
These are vaccines developed using stem cells from a murdered baby, by the way. All your vaccines used murdered babies to develop them. They keep lying and saying it's not true, but it is true. And that's all I'm going to say about this at this point. We will watch closely as this plays out in the court system. But I was tempted to, but I didn't want to prolong this. But there are hundreds of lawsuits. There are numerous dozens of states' attorneys general. I think they're all Republican, by the way, who are coming together to fight this. Texas and a couple other states, Iowa and others we've talked about, are really putting up a good fight. So keep praying for those people. And a lot of companies have said, whoa, and told their people, we had one report this morning and one yesterday, that they basically just stepped back and stopped pushing it because of what's going on in the courts. And so just with that, keep praying about it. I know we have a couple here that are still facing possible loss of job. We have relatives that we know are dealing with the same thing. So we'll just have to keep it in prayer. Luke chapter 13, verses 22 through 30. We left off. We touched on 22 as we stopped our study last week. Get your Bibles open there. Luke 13, 22 through 30. We have pew Bibles if you need a Bible to open up. And if you need a Bible, we always say, take it with you. I just want to say this. Somebody made a comment. What is it, Mary? Who was the talk? We were talking yesterday about how we want you to bring a Bible to church.
Yeah.
And you're saying that you're coming for work day, and it was almost like, whoa, I forgot my Bible. But somebody else was saying the same thing. But we want everybody here to be a Bible student. And I know some of you might have perfect recall, but most of us don't. Now, after 30 years, I'm just going to tell you, I've seen this over and over. You need to have a Bible that you make your own.
Amen.
One that you highlight, you underline, you make a note. It's got your name in the front in case you lose it. I always tell everybody, put your name and address and a phone number or whatever, because it's very rare that someone steals a Bible on purpose. So if you get a bag stolen, I've heard stories of this. People will steal a bag, and they'll keep everything they wanted, and they'll send back the Bible. Because their conscience, they're like, I don't want this on my conscience, you know. Yeah, Mary?
I had a car stolen, and they left everything with my Bible in a garbage bag in the parking lot.
There you go. Here's a story. I've heard those stories. Yeah.
They took your car.
So... But it's very important that we are in our Bible day. Those 6 days of the week, you're in that same Bible, and then you bring it here, and all we're doing is helping you to understand your Bible so that you can have a walk with the Lord the other 6 days of the week. When you read your Bible, it's your Bible. You know where everything's at. Also, is telling Brother Darren, we've got little tabs. Linda put some on hers, I know, and I think Greg, you might, yeah. And so I'm sure for a small price, she'll help you if you need it. But we can get those tabs for you. It's just anything to help you make your way, learn the books of the Bible and by heart and that sort of thing. So we're in Luke 13, 22 through 30. I'm going to ask you to read the odd verses with me. I'll start in verse 22. And he went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying toward Jerusalem. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the strait gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house is risen up and hath shut to the door, and ye begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us, and he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence ye are. Then shall ye begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence ye are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. And they shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Amen?
Amen.
So Jesus, after all this time we've been reading and studying verse by verse through Luke, he's now turning toward the cross. He's now making his journey toward Jerusalem. And he went through the cities and villages teaching, it says there in verse 22. God chose only to give us a sampling of the teaching and works of Jesus for good reason. You may wonder, why didn't he tell us more? Why didn't he tell us everything? John wrote this in John 21, 25, and there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if they should be written every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written.
Amen.
Amen. So that explains why God had to limit it. You know, I don't know about you, but I haven't mastered what he did give us.
Yeah.
You can see me afterwards if you're one of those people who claim to have mastered it. I've had a couple people tell me they have. Oh, I was out doing street ministry once and witnessed to a guy, tried to get him tracked, and he says, I'm good. No, don't think you are. And so I talked to him for a minute, and he says, I already know the Bible. I said, well, I know you're probably familiar with the Bible. A lot of people are familiar with it. No, he says, no, I know everything in it. I said, you do? Oh, that's interesting. I've been at this for how long did it take you to? And he said, I read it through once. That's all I needed. You mind if I ask you a couple of questions? So I just asked him couple of questions. And I said, you know, back here in Genesis, that guy that found the asses, what was his name? He didn't know. Yeah, I said, I even asked him a couple of questions that were kind of a little more well known, and I said, how many animals did Noah take on the ark? And he's like, everybody knows that, it's 2x2. I said, you sure about that? Well, yeah, everybody knows that.
No.
I said, well, if you actually go back and read it, he took two of every animal, but he took seven of the clean. I've never read that before. I said, well, if you read the Bible, you did. Bottom line was, I've never met anybody who knows all the Bible. So the fact that God needed to give us more, it doesn't really make sense, does it? And then verse 22 ends by saying he was journeying toward Jerusalem. it's fitting that this would be the first question asked on his way to the cross. It says he's journeying toward Jerusalem. And then look at verse 23. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? I just think it's fitting. The moment he starts toward Jerusalem, which is where he'll die on the cross, that the first question's about the fact that there are only going to be few. Few that be saved.
Amen.
And the sad answer to that question is yes. Few. In percentages. Now the number will be of every tribe, tongue, and nation. Probably into the billions will be there when all is said and done. But by percentage, it'll be a small percentage of the human beings who have ever lived.
Amen.
It's man that is the problem, not God. You say, why are there few? Well, I'm sorry, there is a version of evangelical Christianity called Calvinism, and there's other groups besides them who teach that there's only a few that save because God only chose to save a few, and the rest can go to hell. And we don't believe that.
Amen.
Man's the problem, not God. So then verse 23 says, at the end, after that question's asked, and he said unto them, and what's he say? Strive to enter in at the straight gate. So his answer wasn't a blanket answer, but demonstrates the issue, the problem. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. It's a straight gate. Now, we've talked about this before. It's, you take just a picture. How many of you have seen the cartoons? And there'll be a road like this, you know, it's like this. And a cartoon character will grab one each end on a map or something. He'll just go, whoop, and now it's straight.
Amen.
That's kind of what the Bible pictures when it says straight gate, is that it's a simple straight gate. It's not all paths lead to God. It's not as long as you're sincere. It's not by whatever name you want to call God. Oh, I don't think God cares what you call him. No, those are all lies. It's a straight gate. So why is it called straight? Noah Webster helps us out here. The definition given is narrow, close, not broad. See? Straight means it's straight. The Bible talks about straightened him out. He's been straightened. That means he's been brought into line. He's going not only in the right direction, but he's now not spread out, spread thin, all over the place, unwieldy and unstable. He's now, boom, straight. That's what God teaches in his word. And then he says in verse 24, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Why not? Why won't they be able? God's made it so simple. Paul talks about the simplicity that's in Christ. If it's so simple, why do so many not enter in at the straight gate? I found three main obstacles. There are probably other contributing factors, but there are three main obstacles of people being saved, people walking into that straight gate. Number one is pride. People are self-righteous. That's what the guy says, hey, I'm good. How many people you try to talk to about the Lord and they just get all arrogant about it and I don't need to hear that. That's pride, self-righteousness. Also, the love of sin.
Yeah.
They just love that sin. And we'd be lying if we said that there wasn't some fleshly pleasure in sin, because there is.
Yeah.
But the Bible says it's for a season. It will come home to roost. There is a judgment day. But then just willful unbelief. People pretend not to be able to believe. They pretend not to be able to believe. They can, and they would if they wanted to. It's willful unbelief. I want to give you the examples. Look at Ephesians 2. And Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 are quoted frequently, but they leave off verse 10 a lot of times. And I think it helps understand the point. pride, self-righteous insistence on works for salvation, and boasting. You know, there's a lot of people just want to be able to say they got there with their own efforts. I did it my way. You know, well, that's not in the hymn book. Amen. It's God's way or the highway. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, if I look at one of you and I say, you know, here's a, well, Darren got mugged this morning.
Poor guy.
Let's say I was giving Darren his mug, and he starts to take it. I said, well, first I need you to go out and Dan was picking the weeds over here.